I'm excited because today we're starting a new series called Promises. And because it's the Easter season, you know, we always, if I could be so bold as to say, we take the Easter time and we dumb it down to Easter. Easter Friday, Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, Easter. But in actual fact, if you study your scriptures and you understand scriptures, it's actually all about the Passover. And so we're going to look at this over the next 5 weeks or 6 weeks or so, and we're going to delve into a whole bunch of stuff here. And so we also understand, though, that we don't live in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. We live in the New Covenant, but doesn't mean we ignore the Old Testament. And there are so many lessons and forerunners for us to learn from it. And if you've been here a while, you'll know that from time to time, I always say, we have to learn to connect the dots and find out what the dots look like and how they are connected from the Old Testament into the New Testament and see how it all comes together and makes what we call the Bible is today, or God's Word. And so we understand that when Jesus celebrated the Passover, I know we did it this morning, we drank one cup. But in actual fact, if you go and study it, you'll find that as a Jew, he would have drunk four cups. And so, you know, you're all going, wow, what are we missing? No, we, hello? Hello? Did I just go somewhere? Hello? Oh, there we are, I'm back again. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter, please. And so, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look into how these four cups fit into the whole picture. And actual fact, how it all works out. And so today I just want to lay a foundation for us on looking at the promises of God, because part and parcel of what we're going to do today, the title of the sermon today is The Eternal Promises. And there are four promises that God makes in the Old Testament that are encapsulated into everything. And you'll see, I know there are probably thousands of promises in Scripture, but we're just going to look at sort of the first four anyway. But let's have a look. Let's go to 2 Peter, as I said, chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does someone said that this morning?
Let me just make sure.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Is there anybody out there? Yeah, you just stand here with your... No, don't. Let's go. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I know someone said that this morning. And so I loved it when someone quoted that during the pre-service prayer meeting or during our time together and our worship together, well, our singing together, because this is all worship. Though the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us, very important, His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And then it goes on down to verse 5, and it says, for this very reason, so we have to pause there and say, what very reason? And if we go back up, we will see that we may become partakers of this divine nature. And so God has given us these promises, and He has set them before us. And we understand what a promise is. A promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. And that is what a promise is. The etymology of the word, if you're interested in that, is promise, meaning a guarantee of your future. And so as I started to study and read all this stuff, I was getting like, wow, God made these, and these are guarantees for me, for my future, and for our future together. They have a purpose that so through them we can participate in God's plan for our lives, in His divine nature. We are spiritual beings having a human experience on earth here. And sometimes we forget that and we want to live in the natural all the time and we live in the flesh all the time. But we have to learn to understand that we have this divine nature imputed to us through His righteousness, and which means that we get to live in the fullness of that. And if we stop being so earthly minded and get heavenly bound a little bit, we will see some things happen in our lives that we go, oh wow, I didn't imagine that could ever happen. God has a covenant to offer on the table for us. And I know that we've lived through some broken promises. People have promised the earth and delivered nothing. And so I know that some of you got promised things by mom and dad and brother and sister and uncle and auntie and teacher and pastor and anybody else you could imagine, and they broke them. Let me say this carefully. God's promises never get broken. He never, ever breaks His promises. They don't always happen when we think they should. They don't always happen in our own time. But they do happen. Joshua 21:45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. This is Hebrews 6. And I've done a couple of scriptures in the message just to alleviate the difficulty of the passage. When God wanted to guarantee His promise, He gave His word, a rock-solid guarantee. God can't break His word. And because His word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our own very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. Isn't that exciting? So there's three things we need to know about God's promises. And well, what are they, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. So here's the number one, is we need to know His promises. It's pointless if we don't know what the promises are. 1 Chronicles 7:19. Lord, for the sake of your servant, and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. The reason we are so messed up, let's just be honest, we're messed up in a whole bunch of areas, is that we don't know God's promises. So we don't know when things come at us, we just, oh, the devil's trying to kill me, oh, the circumstance is terrible, oh, I can't do this, this is too tough. We've got to know God's promises so we can stand on them. And man, there's one that I'm standing on today, and I'm going to read it just now for you. And we need to know that His promises are unbroken, unchangeable. We need to learn to read His word every day so that even if we just get one promise out that day, we can write it down, journal it, put it on a piece of paper in our pocket, walk around with it, quoting it, living it, holding it up before Him. Lord, you promised this would happen to me. How's this for some? For fear. Do you fear a lot? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Take that one. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for He is in you and is greater than he who is in the world. We quote that one very often, but we don't live it. We've got to go, no, I'm more than a conqueror. The enemy's after you. No, no, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Honor the Lord with your wealth, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not greeds, needs. This is the one I'm holding on to. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Amen. And Lord, I come to this morning and I say, heal me, Jesus, in Jesus' name. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. And there's more and more and more and more. But if we don't know the promises, how do we hold on to them? How do we grasp hold of them? How do we speak them out over our lives? How do we live in strength over them? The second thing is, I need to understand His promises. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has he said and he will not do it? And will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? When we understand this, we also understand that God never changes his mind. Well, God told me to go over here, and then he told me to go over there, and then he said I should do this, and then he said I should do that. No. That tells me a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We got to actually get hold of God's promises and say, if God told me to go this way, I'm going this way. Amen? Don't get quiet on me. God's promises are unconditional and they are conditional. They come about by walking in a right relationship with Him. We have to walk in a right relationship with God to see His promises come fulfilled. We cannot behave badly, live outside of God's will and think it's all going to work out for us. It won't. I'm just telling you straight up. You can slice it and dice it and take however you want it to have it. But when we walk in God's will, it's like this automatic thing. It all just clicks into place. I don't know how it works. I just know that God makes it work. And that's all I'm interested in. His promises require faith. You've got to have faith to see it through. We want God to act on our behalf, yet we don't trust Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to be reliant in trusting implicitly in Him. And I know it's a difficult thing because it's not working out the way you thought it would work out. Well, I thought that if I prayed and I trusted and I actually even had faith that God would do this like this. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes at the end of the day, we get there and we go, oh man, I'm glad it didn't work out my way. Because we could have been in so much trouble by now. Because I see the road that God took me on was so much better. It was painful in the beginning, but it worked out so much better. And of course, in the last one here, God does it His way in His time. You know the thing, God's never early, He's never late? It's a lie from the devil. It's like, what do you think, God's confused? No, God knows exactly when He needs to deliver on His promise. You know, we just say that because He didn't work it out in our time. Isn't that interesting? He's constantly teaching us along the way. We are going to learn lessons along the way, and that's why He takes it. That's why He had to take the Israelites out of Egypt and an 11-day journey ended up taking them 40 years. Because they had some lessons to learn on the way. They had to learn how to deal and how to learn to fight against the enemy and how to live again. Because can you imagine having lived in slavery all those years and then they came out and they didn't know what to do because they got fed themselves every day. They got told what to do, how to do this, how to do that, get this, wake up now, wake up then. Now, oh, by the way, you're free. Go and do what you like. I don't know how to do as I like because in actual fact, I was born into slavery. I've lived in slavery all my life. That's all I know. 2 Corinthians 19:20. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken for us to the glory of God. So we not only need to know His promises and understand His promises, we need to pursue His promises. Psalm 119:140, your promises have been thoroughly tested and your servant loves them. 8 verses later, David is going, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Can you imagine that? I know, because you're also spiritual, that happens to you. You get into bed and you lie there and you think of God's promises and you can't sleep and you just, oh Lord, I love your promises. No. But isn't that amazing to encourage us to live in that and to go, O Lord God, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. The only thing that woke me up this morning at 4 o'clock was Coco. I know she has found something to bark at in the middle of the house at 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought it was back in South Africa. So, and then she stopped barking and thought, oh, okay. I don't hear any other noises. Or back to sleep. We've got to learn to practice these things. We've got to know and pursue His promises and live in it. So that was just the introduction. So what are God's eternal promises? His forever promises. All God's other promises centre around these four that I'm going to talk to you now. So we get God sent Moses to free His children out of Egypt, out of slavery. And He made some promises, and yet the promises were much greater than let my people go. The promises were actually about not just getting the people out of Egypt or getting the people out of slavery, but getting Egypt out of the people or getting slavery out of the people. So here it is in Exodus 6:6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you from with an outstretched arm, and with great acts of judgment I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, and who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egypts. Now you want to know why they drink the four cups of the Passover. Well, this is the very reason. These four promises here. And they have different names for a different prayer. They'll break the bread and they'll eat and they'll drink a cup and then they'll have a reading about I will bring you out, and they've got special names, and I just don't have time to go into it, and it's called the Hadach, I think it is. And I will deliver you and I will redeem you and I will take you to my people. So that's what we're going to look at, and you will see that these are eternal promises. I'm going to just do a quick little synopsis for us this morning, and then we're going to delve into it over the whole Passover time together. And so some of you might have seen this before. So this is escape from Egypt in a way to understand that when they left Egypt, look at, I can get clever, hey? Look at that. Can you see that? See? Slaves in Egypt, Passover lamb, slaves coming out, slaves from slaves to free. They were baptized into the Moses community of God. The cloud, the spirit of life, the sea, new life, and you can go and read all the 1 Corinthians 10. They get to Mount Sinai, and there's all the problems. So Lord, God gives them the law to free the people, not the slaves. He wants to free His people. And free people have to learn to live under the law. Because now they are free, they need to have a whole set of tools. They get to Kadesh Barnea, and that's where all the, as you would say, the pawpaw hit the fan, and they had to go around in the desert a little bit. They get to Mount Nebo. Bridget and I stood right here on the spot and looked out over the valley when the Lord said to Moses, you're not going into the promised land. Have a look. This is, you remember? He messed up. And then they cross over the Jordan River into Acts 1:8, revival, worship, kingdom, government. And so that is the escape from Egypt, getting Egypt out of you, you getting out of Egypt in a vast picturesque form. So let's, there we go. So now you know all that, we're smart. So number one helps. I will bring you out. And this is why they are promised, because this promise is God promises me salvation. That's what this is a promise. It's a promise of salvation. I love it how Eugene Peterson puts it in from Titus. Just take it for yourself. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and washed out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come. An eternity of life. You can count on this. I love it the way he puts it. It means that we have a fully developed relationship with God, and I obey all His commands. Remember, He's the King. His kingdom. We are subjects. We obey. The problem is that some of us are still living, we're still living in, we might have had the salvation, but we're still living in Egypt. We actually haven't really had that metanoia, the change of heart. We haven't really stepped into the fullness of the new covenant. We still haven't lived in His, because we're still doing things our way. When God says, no, don't do it this way, and we go, no, okay, but I think I'm going to anyway. Remember last time I preached, I think we spoke about God's moral will and God's sovereign will. This is living in God's moral will and God's sovereign will. And when we understand that, we work together. The second promise He makes is, I will deliver you. God promises me deliverance. And this is not thinking about being demonized and demons at all and that kind of stuff. It's not. It's about getting Egypt out of you. That's the deliverance He's talking about. So, as I said, some of you receive salvation, but you're still living in Egypt. Trapped in your old life. Still allowing your flesh to overcome your spirit. Even when everything is screaming at you inside, no, you're going, yes. Instead of living in the death of sin and old nature, it keeps showing up. And we, every time it shows up, what do? We actually go along, and when sin knocks at the door, we go, hi, come in. Instead of going, no. We've got to learn to say, no. You know, phone a friend. Man, I'm so tempted, I don't know what to do. Yeah, I'm glad you called. Making silly decisions. Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You still live with the idea that God is saying, man, are you serious? Don't come crying to me. I've told you so many times now. I'll just give up on you. That's what some of us thinking still. God is saying, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I'll get Egypt out of you if you will walk with me. You know, as I said, the promises are conditional and unconditional. And we're saying, we all need to experience that. Man, I'm preaching to the choir here. Many years it took me time to figure stuff out. I didn't just grow up and became, you know what, grew like Topsy, as my mother would say. No. There was a growing process. What is Chris's favorite scripture? When a grain of wheat, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. We have to die to ourselves. We have to go like Jesus did. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. He's a loving Father. He is kind. He's patient. The third promise is, He says, I will redeem you. God promises me restoration. Restoration. His promise is to put back together to its original intent. And most of us have no idea what that means. Because the original intent was where God created in the garden. In its perfect, sublime beauty. Not even knowing that they were walking around naked. Excuse me. Everything they saw with their eyes was good and healthy and vital. until the fall. And then everything got perverted and continues to get perverted. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Think of that. God looks at you and thinks, I've got my eye on you for glorious living. Not just ho-hum, I'll just get by, I'll just survive, for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone, which includes you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? He wants to reveal your uniqueness to you. He's had His eye on you, designed again for glorious living. A plan where you can make a difference on this earth. Does anybody here say, I don't want to make a difference? No, we do. In our family, in our home, in our workplace, in our school, in our colleges, in our university, in our church, in our sports club. We all want to make a difference. And God's designed it that way that we can. If we, He will allow us to redeem us, to restore things back, and not tugging. Do you know, I don't know if they do it these days. I know when we were little, they used to have those things they put around you here. You still got them? And the long cord and a harness, yeah. So then you ran off and you go, if you ran too hard, And I think God is sometimes, we like that with God sometimes. He's saying, now come walk with me. Let's go walk this way. And we like kids. We're going, meow, 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 meow. Come on. I'm sick, not you. You can laugh. It's okay. I'm healed. I'm healthy. I should rather say. And then He says this, His fourth promise. I will take you to be my people. Don't say person, His people. God promises me fulfillment in everything that He has for me. Not only me, He takes me to be His people, from a person to a people, from an individual to a family. In every place, a team, a church, in your work, always as a group, a body. It's in His body that His glory shines. That's why these are eternal promises. These weren't just given in Exodus 6 and, okay, guys, get on with your life, new covenant. These are promises that came to the cross, went through the cross, and live eternally. We understand that when we look at them and go down the road with them, and we see that when we get together, it's in His body. Jesus, believe it or not, is not interested in the man with the power for the hour, or the woman with the power for the hour, for that matter. He's interested in His bride. He's interested in His body. He's interested in us teaming together. Right, Frank? Frank loves the idea of team. You will never know how great life can be until you're part of a team. An offer is on the table to get rid of the junk in your life and find your design and place you strategically. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Is anyone confused about that? Now he'll attack me a little bit, and when he gets his little way with me, he's going to let go of me and he'll go on to somebody else. No. No. He wants to steal from you. He wants to steal from you in every facet of your life. He wants to kill you in every facet of your life. He wants to destroy you in every facet of your life. It's this vortex. One bad decision, next bad decision, next bad decision, next bad decision, out of the will of God. And you're still happy. The guy who mentored me mostly, and I still see as my spiritual father, Greg Haswell, he used to have the ability to discipline you and basically tell you to go take a long walk off a short pier, and you go, wow, that was so exciting, I can't wait to do that. Now, he's not the devil, but I think that's what happens with us. The devil sucks us in, and we get so used to that, we get our conscience so seared by our immoral behavior, our unrepentant behavior, our behavior that we think is godly, but it's not. And we just keep going down and down and down and down and down. And the enemy keeps going. He keeps at it. There's no, I'm going to let up. No, he lets up when you are completely stolen from, when you're completely killed, and you're totally destroyed. But there is good news. As Jesus says, I have come that they, we, may have life and have it to the full. And when we take hold of that thing, and you know, if you're on the slippery slope, you know, you can come, and it's not like, oh, one step at a time. No. It's come back to God. Walk in His will. Well, it took me a long time to get here. You know, it's like, I'm talking about myself now, okay? It takes a long time to build a body like this. It doesn't come off so easily. As I say, underneath all this lurks a good body. But with Jesus, like that. So this morning, the offer's on the table. If any of you feel in any shape or form, or no, you're away from God, you have a broken relationship, you might have once had a relationship with God. Just ponder upon this. Are you following God's plan? Or are you following your plan? Are you living for yourself or for God? Or are you calling the shots? Or is God calling the shots? So this morning, I'm just going to ask us all to stand together, please. Excuse me. If any of this has said something to you, and you feel, yeah, my relationship with God is broken, I got messed up somewhere along the way. I'm not even sure how I did that. Because that's the point. You know, the enemy is sly. He doesn't come like this fiery, breathing dragon that we think he is. He comes like the serpent of old. He comes slithering and slithering into your midst. And he whispers stuff in your ear and creates the doubt. And he creates the confusion. And you look at yourself 6 months or a year later and you're going, wow. Maybe there's still a little bit of Egypt in you. Well, this morning there's an offer on the table. So I'm just going to pray, and whatever area it is, you do business with God right where you are. If you want to speak to any of the pastors afterwards, you're more than welcome to do that. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord God, and our eyes are opened and revealed, Lord God, to the Passover. And Jesus, we go through this month and we consider it and the price that you paid that we might have abundant life to the fullest, Lord God. We thank you for these eternal promises. We thank you, Lord God, that you will redeem us, Lord God, that you will restore us. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you will take us to be your people. We thank you, Lord God, that you will deliver us. We thank you, Lord God, that you brought us out. And that could be any facet of our lives. And so, God, we just come to you this morning. In Jesus, I ask for forgiveness for any area of my life where my relationship is broken with you, Lord. Oh, God, I want it to be restored. I want to walk in your ways, Lord. I want to be the sunshine of your life, Lord God. I want to be the apple of your eye again, Lord God. Let me shine for you. Let me be living the glorious life that you've promised. Holy Spirit, you speak to us now. Would you touch our lives? Break in where we've set up walls. Allow us to break out into the fullness and the freedom of your righteousness, the new covenant of your love and kindness towards us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.